Evening. It's good to see everyone this evening. It's good to be with you. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've even seen you, nonetheless, been in the pulpit, but thankful to see you. Thankful that everyone is doing well and everyone's feeling good and able to make it out tonight. And thankful to be able to study God's Word with you tonight. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Matthew chapter 25, I'd encourage you to do so. That's where we'll spend most of our time tonight. And we'll be looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. And at Highway 27, up in Lafayette, that's where I'm preaching now, up in Northwest Georgia, we've been doing a series on the parables of Jesus. We're about halfway through. We've done several. We've done at least 15. And this was one of the ones that stuck out the most to me when I was actually preparing the study and looking at kind of the things. And I realized as I was studying through it that maybe, and this happens when we read things over and over, maybe there are some things here that I didn't get the first 18, 19,000 times I've read this. So I did this, really, really, really enjoyed it. So I wanted to share, you know, I was talking to Kent, and I said, what do you want me to preach? He said, hey, it's up to you. I said, okay. And so this just is what came to mind. I said, you know what, this was a really interesting study for me, so let me share that with you guys. And maybe there are some things here that obviously you've probably heard before, but maybe there are some things that maybe you haven't heard before in some ways or perspectives that you've heard this parable before, and hopefully that will help you and encourage you. So Matthew chapter 25, looking at the parables of the parable of the 10 virgins, and the question that we're going to try and answer tonight is, are we prepared? If you read this parable, and we will in just a moment, you'll really see that that's what it's going to come down to. Jesus is going to pose a statement at the end of it. He's going to say, nobody knows when I'm coming back, essentially. And so then the question is, the implication is, are we ready for when Jesus comes back? The implication isn't, okay, how do we find out when he's going to come back? He clearly says we're not going to know. So the question is, are we ready? Are we prepared? And we're going to try and answer that tonight. And what we're going to do is analyze this parable. We'll read it now together, and then we'll go back verse by verse. Just analyze it a little bit in terms of just some of the key elements, and then we'll start to pick it apart. So if you want to follow with me in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will be not enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Pretty straightforward parable in a lot of ways. There are lots of things, though, that we can glean from this. But really, let's just break it down to make sure we understand exactly what's happening. The virgins go out with their lamps in the first 4 verses. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins. So we know that we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're talking about, the kingdom of heaven, something that we certainly want to know about. They go out with their lamps to go meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. Foolish took their lamps. They didn't have any oil with them or any extra oil, and the wise took their flasks of oil with them. So we know that they go out with their lamps. The bridegroom is delayed in coming in verse 5. The bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and slept. So they're all now going to fall asleep because the bridegroom's delayed. They get tired and they go to sleep. It happens. The arrival's announced in verse 6 and 7. At midnight, there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom. So bang, all of a sudden in their sleep, here he goes. They rise. They trim their lamps. The foolish virgins are running out of oil. All those virgins trim their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Hang out. And they basically say, no, there's not enough for both of us. So those that are prepared, as the others go to the dealers, the foolish ones, those that are prepared in verse 10, enter. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. The foolish virgins arrived, so they do return. It's not like they just didn't come back. They do return in verse 11, 12, but they're told, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. And then Jesus makes the application in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So Jesus makes the application really obvious for us. We don't really have to guess what exactly he's trying to say. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means more than just the fact that we don't know when Jesus is coming back. That is certainly true. We know that some people were wise, some people were foolish. There's lots of things that we can see. But what are we looking at here? The message that Jesus delivers in verse 13 was made very, very, very clear. I would say in the entire New Testament. But here's something that was interesting to me when I was doing this study that maybe I didn't consider before and other times that I read this parable. See, our Bibles or our iPads or whatever it is that you're using, they do a really good job of breaking things into chapters and breaking things into verses, but this is not exactly how it was when it was written. So if you actually go back to chapter 24 with me, go back one chapter there, and we're going to look at verse 36. And you might notice something interesting. I don't know what it says in your Bible, but they all have little headings above the different passages. Mine says, no one knows that hour and that day. So here all of a sudden I'm going, okay, well that's interesting. Seems like Jesus might have been talking about this for a while before it leads into the parable of the 10 virgins. So let's read it together. Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. So here is the first time, in the same context that Jesus has said, nobody knows the hour. I just want you guys to know, nobody knows the hour. I want to make that clear for you. Nobody knows the hour. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Why add that? Well, essentially just telling you, man, nowadays we like to, finance our own rocket ships and go up to space, even two of us at a time maybe. And we like to build iPhones, and then, an 11 comes out, and then 11 Plus comes out like a day later. We're very smart. Nobody knows. Not even the angels. Don't waste your time. Nobody is going to figure this out. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man in verse 37. What's he mean? For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Listen to that in verse 38. As in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking. They were just living. Before the flood, they were just hanging out, living, eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, just doing what we do. Wake up and do what we do, whatever it is that's on your schedule every day. They were unaware until when? Until the flood came and it swept them away. So will the coming of the Son of Man. So there's your first time that Jesus says it very clearly. It's really hard to misunderstand these first few verses here. It gets better. In verse 40, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. So here's Jesus using another analogy, if you will, trying to tell us, hey, I want you to understand something very clear. If it didn't make sense with Noah, it's going to be kind of like this. Two people will be standing there, and then all of a sudden one will be gone. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken away, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. Okay, he's told us twice. You would think that it's really, really, really important. This is an important topic then. If Jesus has said it twice in the same context, it's really, really, really important. Gets better. Verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. A third analogy by Jesus. A third way of explaining it. You know, you have auditory learners, you have visual learners, you have all these different types of learners for all of our education majors, all of our teachers. We have all these different ways that people learn. So we have workbooks, we have PowerPoints, we have nice little microphones, we do all kinds of different things to help people learn and help people understand. Here Jesus is saying, this is the third way I'm teaching this to you. I'm even saying if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We're going to keep going, but I just want to point something out to you. Three times in three different ways, Jesus has made the point, you do not know when I am coming back. Are you prepared? Are you ready? By the way, we're still not to chapter 25, right? That'll be the fourth time that Jesus has said it, all in the same context. It's not like we've gone to four different passages and four different places. We've got, well, say if you, of course it's said it four or five times. I mean, if you're the entire Bible, that's a lot of books. That's 66 books written over, 16 centuries by many authors. I mean, it's going to be said a few times. No, brethren, it's right here. In verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant whose his master has set over his household to give him their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set over him all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's another time Jesus says it in a different way. And he makes the application in verse 51, just like he did in chapter 25. If you go back over to 25 and verse 13, he makes the application again. Remember verse 13 in chapter 25? Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Several times before he even got to this parable, Jesus said the same thing. Why do I keep hitting that for you? It's not that I think it's important. Who cares what I think? Who am I? Some of you probably don't even know me. Jesus has said it multiple times in the same passage. That's where I'm a visual learner. You ever those biohazard? There used to be an alarm clock. I couldn't stand this in college, but people would have an alarm clock. That was a biohazard. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you wake up in that panic? When I read this passage here in chapter 24 and then chapter 25, that's what's going off in my ears. Jesus is trying to tell me something really, really, really important. Everything in the Bible is important. But here, not many places in the Bible, and I challenge you to find how many places in the Bible, not many places in the Bible has Jesus told the same story five different ways in a span of 30-odd verses. Not many times. Very few times. That's why, to me, this parable is so interesting. I don't know why I didn't pick up on that before. But he makes the application, hey, you just don't know. And the message is repeated elsewhere in the New Testament. You're not going to believe this. It's elsewhere in the New Testament. Let me read six verses for you here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have written anything to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. There it is. Like a thief in the night. Verse 3, while people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. It's very interesting here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. That sounds like what Jesus said about the days of Noah. They're eating and drinking, they're marrying, they're giving in marriage, and then bang, they don't know what's happening until the flood is upon them. And all of a sudden they're swept away. This is the exact same thing. What are you looking for in your life? If peace and security is not in the top five things you're looking for in your life, I'd like to talk to you and try and figure out how to get on that level. Because that's definitely, definitely in my top three. Peace and security for my family, sign me up. Well, here he's saying, while people are saying there is peace and security, while we're out here looking day to day for peace and security, the Bible is telling us, put that on the side for a second and think about this. Do not let the sudden destruction of the world come upon you. And then we're given this example of labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And then it brings me back to like a National Lampoon's Vacation. Here they're on the beach and the wife is pregnant. And they're just trying to get some relaxation before they're going to have the baby here in another couple weeks. She's got her toes in the sand. You know, dad's knocked out asleep or whatever. And then, you know, all of a sudden, bang. She's like, honey, wake up. She's like, what? We got to go. It's just like that. How many times have you heard stories of, well, yeah, you want to know how our baby? It was crazy. I mean, we were at the theme park and then all of a sudden, you know, my water broke and my husband was freaking out. He didn't know what to do and he started walking in circles and pacing and, you know, yelling. And I mean, just you hear so many crazy stories. Nobody's prepared. You've watched the baby grow in the belly for 9 months. You even knew when that time was going to happen. You didn't know exactly. But you knew right about 9 months, there was going to be a child that was going to be born. And still we're like, nobody, you know, the labor pains come and then we're like, okay, yep, thought this was going to happen today. All right, let's get in the car. All good. Let's go. Nobody's calm like that. Everybody's like, oh, really? I remember getting the call. Honey, I'm going to the hospital. Now? Why was I surprised? I don't know. I don't know. But here, while people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. So First Thessalonians gives us this lesson. And Second Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. There it is. And the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Here it's essentially saying to us, since these things in verse 11 are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be? While we're out here looking for peace and security, and while we're out here looking to this, and we're chasing jobs, and we're doing that, what type of people ought you to be? Why? Because all of this is going to be dissolved. We're not wasting our time, but if our focus is on anything but the Lord, we're literally wasting our time. Because 2 Peter chapter 3 is just telling us, it's not really going to matter. It's all just going to be dissolved, and it's all going to go away. We hear a similar message again in chapter 3 of Revelation, verses 2 and 3. Wake up and strengthen what remains is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard, keep it and repent it. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Again, he says it again. So yes, it's echoed through the Bible that we don't know when the Lord is coming back, but it's also echoed in that one passage that we looked at. It's amazing. You always have to be ready. If there's anything that you've taken from anything that we've said tonight, you always have to be ready. Always. What else can we take away? What other application can we make? Because I think some of the applications that we've made already seem to be the obvious ones. What are the ones that maybe aren't as obvious all the time? The first thing I would tell you is that Christians await the bridegroom. If you go back to Matthew chapter 25, if you have that there, and you consider that context, and you consider who's being talked about there, the kingdom of heaven, right? And the 10 virgins waiting on the bridegroom. The Christians, us, we are awaiting the bridegroom. We are the ones in this parable that are either the wise or the foolish. Some are wise and diligent. This is talking about Christians. I'm not talking about Christians in the world. I'm talking about people that profess the Lord. I'm talking about people that say, yep, I know the truth. Some are wise and some are diligent. Clearly, in the parable, we see that. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Hopefully daily, right? Knowing the blessings to come. Knowing what's coming down the road. And trying to hold fast to the command of the Lord because we know what's coming down the road and we want to be with God. But then there are those that are foolish. And yes, Christians. There are those that are foolish. It's right here in the parable. Coming, but are apathetic. Do you realize that there are people that know that the Lord is coming, but they're, I think I'm prepared. I think. It'll be okay. He's very forgiving. He's very merciful. It's all good. The foolish virgins knew the Lord was coming. That's why they were out there with the oil and their lamps themselves. They knew he was coming. So you can't tell, you know, these foolish people are that's not talking about Christians. Are we wise or foolish? Are we the ones that are out there waiting for the Lord? Are we the ones that are wise or the ones that are foolish? But make no mistake, Christians are the ones that are awaiting the bridegroom. The other point I'll make to you, do not rely on the past. Don't you do it. It's a little bit easier when you're young because you don't have as much past. But as we get older, we take account of the things that we do. And even as we get older as Christians, been a Christian for about a decade, a little bit more than a decade, just over a decade, sometimes I think about my walk with Christ, right? I think we all do that. And we think about the times where we've done well and maybe the times where we haven't done well. But I'm here to tell you, do not rely on the past. You think about it all you want. First of all, it's done. Second of all, do not rely on it. Don't you do it. The foolish virgins had some oil. Let me explain something to you here that I think is very interesting. In verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. What that implies to me is that the foolish virgins, as foolish as they were, they still had some oil in their lamp. What does that mean? And why does that matter? They had some amount of preparation. Clearly, there was some oil in the lamp. There had been some amount of preparation before. That's how the oil, I'm sure, got in the lamp. I mean, you ever put oil? I mean, nobody, hopefully no one's had to do that. You got these nice lights in here and stuff. But that's how that works. They had some amount of preparation. But apparently they trusted the amount of preparation that they had before. The difference with the wise was they brought extra flasks of oil. Don't rest on your laurels. Paul makes that clear for us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, in a passage that we all know really well, I think. Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. In anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Are you depending on the past? Are you depending on the oil that was already in the lamp? Well, say, listen, I've lived a long life. I've done a lot of good. I'm sure that will carry me the rest of the way. We don't have time to study grace tonight, but that's not, we don't merit God's grace. That's not how that works. We can't look on us and be like, you know, well, I've done some good things. Like, I'm in a pretty good place. I don't think the foolish virgins came out thinking that they were foolish. I think they came out with oil in the lamp saying, yep, we're ready for them. Can't we just share? Can't we just share some oil? I mean, seriously, what's the big deal? You ever thought about it that way? You ever read the parable and go, why didn't they just share some oil? We teach our kids, sharing is caring. We have all these songs for little kids about how they should share. We talk about how we should share. We should be hospitable. We should give, I should give you the shirt off my back and all this stuff. Why can't they just share some oil? What's the big deal? I can hear people in the world say, if you know what the problem is with the Bible, hear this parable, you're looking at this and you're saying all these things, if they would have just shared, they would have been fine. Preparedness is not transferable. Preparedness, being prepared, my preparedness is not transferable to you. I can't take my preparedness and be like, you know what, you're right. It's not like me taking out some cash out of my back pocket and saying, all right, out of this 100 that I have in preparation for whatever I'm going to do, I'll give you 10 bucks. Here you go. It's not transferable. The wise virgins couldn't share their oil. We cannot impart salvation that we receive directly from the Lord onto other people. Work that way. I can't save you. Your husband can't save you. You can't save your children. You can't save anybody. So you be prepared as you want. You say, why don't they just give some oil? It doesn't work that way, brethren. Our spiritual preparedness doesn't transfer to other people. It doesn't matter how prepared I am. It's not going to help you. It doesn't matter how prepared you are. It's not going to help me. At the end of the day, I will stand in judgment, and my heart will be judged, and my deeds will be exposed. And either I will receive mercy and grace, or I won't. And based on what the Bible says, if I've been living a faithful life, I'm going to get it. And I'm going to spend an eternity with the Father, and that's it. That's it. Each must receive salvation from the Lord themselves. That's why they can't just share. We cannot be saved by association. You know, one thing that I've heard a lot, and most of you know that I converted from Islam, and most of you know my conversion story, and I came here and I did the Islam series, and a lot of you were here. But one thing that I used to hear all the time was, Saif, you know what the difference is in the Lord's church? We know the truth. We know the truth. We know the truth. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. We know the truth. Knowing the truth, practicing the truth, they're much further than my hands are right now. It's kind of like when people ask me, Saif, how's the team going to be this year? You guys were fifth in the country last year. Are you guys going to be good again? I'm like, I don't know. I hope so. Like, well, are you returning everybody? Yeah, we're returning a lot of them. Yeah. Well, I mean, sounds like you guys should be pretty good then. I'm like, well, you know what I say? Potential and achievement are two very different things. And I'll tell on Sunday night, when I meet with the team for the first time this year, I will say the exact same thing. Potential and achievement are two different things. And it's not a motivator. It's a fact. If it motivates them, great. Knowing the truth and practicing the truth, I know people who know the Bible. You got to live it. We can't be saved by association because we know the truth or we were a member of the right church. It didn't work for the Jews. Why did it work for you? And they were special, right? They were given a lot. You read the Old Testament, it's kind of interesting. It's like, man, I mean, they were really pretty special people. Are you depending on someone else and their preparedness to save you? Be ready. There are no second chances. Don't let the world preoccupy you. Once this door was shut, it was shut. The door was shut in verse 10. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Like I can almost picture it because I told you I was a visual learner, right? So I can almost picture it. They're at the door. Lord, Lord, open to us. We're back. And almost with a perplexed face, I can almost see it. I don't know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the hour nor the day. Do not let the world preoccupy you. And what we talk about a lot of times when we talk about the world preoccupying us, we talk about, you know, bad things, really bad things. I'm just talking about the world. Forget the bad things. How about the boat that you want? Don't let it preoccupy you. Well, let's get even closer to something that's actually important. How about work? Say, if I got to work. Hey, I hear you. I'm the only preacher at Highway 27, but it's not the only thing that I do. I coach soccer. I get it. I got to feed a wife and kids too. I get it. It's busy. I get it. I got to go here. I got to go there. I get it. I hear you. I hear you. Don't think because I look like I'm 20 that I don't get it. I get it. I'm with you. Don't let the world preoccupy you. We have to do these things. I know we do. You're told you have to take care of your family. That's biblical. Don't let it pull you away from being prepared. Don't you do it. Don't let that happen. Yes, through the worldly lusts, of course. That's mostly what we talk about. But just the concerns. How are we going to make the bills? What about COVID? COVID this, COVID that. What's coming next? Is the stock market going to plummet? Is the housing market in a bubble? Is this the right time to buy or sell? I hear you. We're literally in the midst of selling our house right now. I hear you. It's frustrating. Well, the sale's easy. The purchase is a little bit tougher. I hear you. Don't let it pull you away from having enough oil in that lamp. Instead, pray. Sarah and I were on the way here, and we were talking about a couple different things. Just a couple things that are going on. You know, same thing with y'all. You got things going on, and you talk about them, and we got things going on, and we're talking about them, and we both just almost simultaneously, we just need to pray, man. Just need to pray. And that was the end of the conversation. That's it. We just prayer. Just pray, brothers. Be diligent. Don't quit. Don't think that you have enough oil in the lamp. Don't be like the foolish ones. Be diligent. Be watchful. Maintain your preparedness. Most of us would be prepared. Maintaining our preparedness is the challenge. Maybe the Lord comes back in 10 seconds. Maybe He doesn't. I don't know. Maybe it's not for 10 years. Maybe it's not for 10,000 years. I don't know. Maintain your preparedness. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. I don't know when He's coming. I don't know. But I do know that there is a great day coming. We are told that. We sing about it. There is a great day coming. I don't know when. Don't ask me afterwards. So seriously though, when do you think it might? I don't even know what I'll do if you ask me that question. I might just whack myself on the head and do a good enough job tonight. I don't know. I know you got things going on. I know. It's hard. We've got family members that go through things. People have passed away recently. People, like, I get it. We deal with things. Kids are about to go to school. Maybe some of your kids for the first time. Maybe some of your grandkids for the first time. You might be worried about that. I don't know. What's on your mind? Whatever it is, forget about it. There's a great day coming, and I want to spend an eternity with the Lord, with my family, and just right behind that, with you. All of us there. How amazing would that be? Your first step of preparation is obeying the gospel. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you can. You can do this. You can repent of your sins. You can be baptized for the remission of those sins. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Maybe you're shy. Maybe you don't want to do that tonight. That's fine. You can do that anytime tonight. We can go do that, and I'm sure there's a river around or a pool. Whatever. Whatever it takes, do not walk away not being prepared. Do not go to bed tonight without being prepared for the coming of the Lord. And that includes the brethren. If you need the prayers of this congregation, we'll pray for you. We'll do what we can. Let us know how we can help. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.